Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Brad, I see you have Toy Story Land thoughts in our notes with a qualifier that we should keep them quick.
Well, okay, so we spent an entire episode bashing the Incredicoaster. We spent an entire episode bashing, admittedly, Toy Story Land as a whole, right? Because I tried not to bash, Slinky Dog, just mostly the aliens with trailers.
The U-Hauls, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and I've done reading, and it seems like at the best of times, the reception of Toy Story Land is mixed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people seem to like it for what it is. Some people seem to hate it for what it is. So I feel like the only way to make a good decision on this is to just go and find out for myself.
Oh, Brad.
Yep.
When?
So my sister, who works for Disney during the summer, is about to have to come home, so I'm going to go and help her travel back. So I go in 2 weeks.
Oh, you are the worst.
Just for the weekend. Just for the weekend, though. Like, it's a little scary, because basically I get 2.5 days to jam in Toy Story Land, Avatar, and everything in between. And there ain't no fast passes to be had, my friend,
right?
For Flights of Passage or anything Toy Story. Well, I guess let me say Toy Story Mania I could get a fast pass for.
Right.
But yeah, all the rest of that stuff, it just ain't happening.
Well, and the line to get into Toy Story Land is like back to the theater, isn't it? Like,
getting
into Toy Story Land at all.
So here's the thing. Right now, my plan is Saturday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday till a little bit around noon. That's all the time that I get, right? Because I've got to be back at work on Tuesday, and it's a 14-hour drive from Orlando.
Oh, you're driving?
Oh, well, I'm flying out there, but we're having to drive her. Because, again, she's been there for 2 months. She took her car and stuff and all that to go, you know, set up shop so she could go work.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
And so we're both driving back, so that way she doesn't have to stop and spend the night and try to, like, that's a long drive to make by yourself anyway, mm-hmm. You know, even in 2 days. So basically I am flying out like Friday night, getting there at 1 a.m. on Saturday, going to bed for a couple of hours, and then we're just going to have to hit the ground running, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
Saturday we're going to try to get in, you know, maybe we'll go do some Epcot or some Magic Kingdom, something like that. And then Sunday we're going to do Animal Kingdom, and we'll see. You know, basically I'm planning to have to spend all day there. I'd like to, you know, maybe not have to do that, but it's whatever it takes for me to experience Avatar to its fullest, basically, you know? And then Monday we are just going to, the best plan I've got is to just rope drop Toy Story Land and hope for the best, you know? Cause I mean, that's all I can do.
Haul it back there.
Yeah.
So you're saving your half day for Toy Story Land?
Yeah. So there might be another part to this trip, but I'm kind of hesitant to talk about it right now cause I'm afraid it might not happen, but I really need to be in Epcot on Saturday because I might be getting possibly hooked up to go to Club 33.
Oh, Brad. Okay. I sound angry. I'm not angry. I'm super duper happy for you. But boy, oh boy, I may be turning a little green. Oh, my gosh.
And like
Club
I said, 33? You know, I'm kind of scared that somehow this isn't going to work out. But yes, I did happen across somebody who is actually a Club 33 member who has said, hey, next time I'm down there, you know, if it happens to be at the same time, I could get you in And they happen to be down there at the same time that my sister is moving. So I saw, you know, serendipity happening here, and I decided to take advantage of it. So yeah, basically it was, do you want to go do the Hollywood Studios one, or do you want to go do the Epcot one? And I figured the Epcot one sounded, you know, because I don't know, like, I kept going back and forth, but I think the Epcot one is the one to do. So we're going to go do the Epcot one, potentially. Until I walk through the doors of that place, I'm not actually believing that it's going to happen.
Yeah, this sounds a lot more like you're hedging for your own sake than for any other reason.
Oh, it's completely... I have no reason to believe that I won't get in. It's just the sheer impossibility of getting that sort of an opportunity in my life.
That you're afraid you're going to walk in the door and the poverty detector is going to go off.
Absolutely.
Throw you out.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to put my hand over that scanner and it's going to be like, you have not touched enough money today. And just throw me out on my ear.
Bank account scanned. Not enough zeros.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so anyway.
That is incredible. And I am very happy for you. And I can fold neatly into a carry-on suitcase, so.
Well, you know, if you happen to find yourself at Intercontinental in Houston on Friday evening, I mean, you know, if you can convince your wife that you can go to Disney without her and possibly go to Club 33 and go see the new Toy Story Land and go see Avatar...
Triple nope.
And she would be okay with all that, then let's talk. But fortunately, my wife loves me very much and is not nearly the Disney fan that I am. So, you know, basically all of this came up like less than a week ago, right? Hey, I'm going to be at Disney. Hey, you know, Crystal could use somebody to help her coming back. Hey, you actually do have one day of vacation left. I thought I was completely out. Like, all of this came together in this really short period of time. And I'm like, oh, gosh, but I've got to leave Nancy here. There's just, you know, no way that we're both going to be able to do. And she's like, yeah, I've been thinking it's been a while since you've been. And I've been trying to figure out a way for you to get to go. So, go.
What a woman.
That's what I'm saying. So yes, I got the clearance. I don't see you getting the clearance so much, buddy.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not.
Ugh, but yeah, so,
man,
so
that's pretty cool,
I don't
though.
Have to talk smack about Toy Story. You know what? I can come back and I can talk firsthand smack about Toy Story Land, basically. So yes, Disney trip coming very soon. You know, after talking about my friend and all of the... remember the one that needed me to help plan their trip, and it was all last minute.
Yeah.
And I guess so the trepidation I felt about, you know, on their behalf, like, you have to have more time to plan than that. Now suddenly I'm like, I really should have more time to plan.
3 weeks.
You don't just go for 2.5 days. You just don't do that. You don't try to put the new land on a half day. Like, so many things that sound like a bad idea here, but you know, it's the opportunity I have. So
I think if you rope drop and you just like don't obviously do not run, but if you power walk back to Slinky Dog Dash, you can probably get in there pretty quick.
Yeah, I'll probably only be in an hour and a half, 2 hour wait. So you know, I should get it in. Maybe not that and Swirling Saucers this trip, but darn, no trailers for me. You know, but I'm definitely going to try to. My hope, I will consider it a successful day at Hollywood Studios if I can get those two attractions in and be able to do lunch at Woody's, which I did see. So they are doing mobile ordering there because they're doing mobile ordering everywhere now, which to me is brilliant. So I feel like I might actually have a chance to eat there, you know?
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we talked about it, but it still looks pretty good.
Well, so the food had the descriptions looked good. The pictures didn't look so great, but I've seen more pictures since, and you know, I I don't know. We'll see what the menu pictures look like when I get there. And I haven't looked on Disney's website, but the pictures that I have seen have looked better than the initial shots that we were seeing that were actually being released by Disney. So yeah.
I guess I should say it sounds pretty good to be fully accurate.
Yes. Yeah. It sounds very promising. So I'm excited to get the opportunity to do all this stuff, but
I'm excited for you.
Yes, I did
and
totally
super duper jealous.
I did totally have to put it in the. I had to give myself an opening in the show notes, but not. I didn't want to tell you before the show, and then you'd have to fake all of your resentment of me.
It's a loving resentment.
Yes, yes, but not only will I get the chance to visit Toy Story, Avatar, which is over a year old and I haven't had a chance to visit. It blows my mind that we visited right before it opened, you know, and that it's actually been, because I usually don't go a year without visiting. But I will also get the chance to play with the new Disney Play app, which is how I'm choosing to segue into our next topic.
There you go.
Which is
I think it was a great segue, and we
Disney
should call attention
play
to
app.
It. We should call attention to how great it was.
All the best segues you call attention to time and time again, right?
Like a very tender golf clap for
yes,
Brad.
Yes, yes. So have you, so when we talked earlier, you had not downloaded that. Have you at least downloaded the Disney Play app yet?
No, I have not. I don't even have my phone in the room with me.
You need to at least, because here's the thing, like while a lot of it is geo-locked and everything, they do have, like, you can go into the Magic Kingdom and there's Disney Parks trivia in there. You know, there's different trivia around the different places that you can access even if you aren't there. And so I may or may not have just been randomly playing Disney Parks trivia here and there, which only serves to teach me that I know diddly squat about Typhoon Lagoon. And so I do not do so hot on those questions.
So what if the trivia isn't geo-locked, what's geo-locked?
So what? There was a game that I... Yeah, here we go. I actually just tried to open the Space Mountain Rocket Race game. And gosh darned if I can tell you what it's... Greetings, Cadet. Choose up to four other players to join you for training missions as you prepare your ship for the darkest reaches of space. And it says you need to stand in the queue and turn on location to enjoy this experience.
Mm. Okay.
So yeah, there's a lot of games. There are
different... That sounds more like interacting with other people in the queue, though.
Well, but it says select up to four other. Like, are you going to pick random people out of the queue? I don't know. Or is it just going to be other? Because it says like 2 to 5 players.
Yeah.
So it could just be the other members of your party.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it sounds like they want you to. Probably what it'll do is just show you a list of the people who are in the queue. And then you just pick if your party is the people. They probably have to confirm. I don't know.
Yeah. So they've got that one. What? Peter Pan's flight has off to Neverland. And on top of that, there are like trivia, especially in the Magic Kingdom, there are like 3 or 4 trivia things. There's Frontierland trivia, Fantasyland trivia, Adventureland trivia, and all of that is unlocked, dude, to play anytime you want.
Hmm.
And then they've also got achievements that are locked to specific locations as well. So if you go visit that spot, you can then unlock that achievement, which is a great way of, you know, gamifying go walk around the park.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I am really like happy about this. One of the things, I guess, is what I should say that is interesting to me is when you go to when you open the app, right, it offers you which park do you want? Do you want Walt Disney World or Disneyland? And then if you go to Disneyland or Walt Disney World, it asks you which park do you want? And if you click on Epcot, the Universe of Energy still has a Universe of Energy sign out in front of it. And this is all like artistically, I don't know. You're the art person. You would have to tell me what this art style is. But it's not like they took pictures of everything.
Hmm.
So
it's illustrated somehow.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just not sure what you would call this particular illustration style. But they took the time to illustrate the universe of energy sign out in front of it, even though that universe of energy sign does not exist anymore.
Yeah. I mean, they probably didn't know. The people who were developing the Parks app, the Play app, I mean, just didn't even know that Guardians of the Galaxy was happening. And so they just did everything based on what the park looked like when they were developing it. And then they learned about the whole, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy thing when everybody else did.
Well, and I guess what's interesting to me is that they didn't, you know, so Wonders of Life Pavilion is on there, as in, like, there's the dome that's there, right, with the gold and the triangles on it and everything. Mm-hmm. But there's no sign out in front of it. So I guess I'm just kind of surprised they didn't just completely pull the sign. I'm definitely not upset by it, but it's just, it's interesting to me, but
it's peculiar.
Yeah. It's also just fun to like look around this app and, you know, like looking around Epcot and, you know, the torches are lit and the, you know, so the flames are on them, and over there in Germany, you can see the train going around. You know, so there's a lot of nice. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All of this is animated.
Interesting.
So it's got a bunch of really cool little touches to it. And what do you know? Toy Story Land is already there. So for something that was made a year ago, you know, they are on top of some things.
Hmm.
And as a matter of fact, there's even a game to play in the queue for Slinky Dog Dash. So
interesting.
They've been planning, but no.
Maybe my theory is not right.
Maybe Universe of Energy is coming back?
Definitely not.
Breaking. Universe of Energy is returning.
Have you seen the huge ride building they've been constructing?
No, actually I haven't.
For Guardians?
So I don't like stock bio reconstruct like some people do, which I'm assuming is where you saw this ride building at.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It's enormous.
Well, but it has to be, right? Because everything that I've seen says that the old building is going to be like just load and unload, right?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, it's
and all
huge.
Of the coaster is going to be in that separate building.
They are going to have to work diligently to preserve sight lines because that building is gigantic.
Well, you know, you get it built and then you just paint it all green and Bob's your uncle.
Just paint some trees on it.
Yeah, that's really all you have to do.
When I was in Las Vegas, they had tons of those palm trees that were made, or they were cell towers made to look like palm trees.
Not and very successfully made to look like palm trees.
Yeah, they're just so bad. Like, it's really funny how fake they look, and especially when I rode the monorail, which mm-hmm. Las Vegas has a pretty good useful monorail that goes through the down the strip, and I was on it quite a bit. And so you're basically at eye level with these terrible quote trees. it was pretty silly, like how bad they were.
Well, you know, it's not meant to stand up to a close inspection of it.
Sure. Sure.
It's just meant to be better than nothing. So
yeah, I love the thought that, you know, we're trying to hide this and then it just looks so funny.
Okay. I really should have played with this Disney Play app more before we actually started recording because I may or may not be talking to you and still moving around on the Disney Play app. But like there are over beside Star Tours and Pizza Rizzo and all that where I feel like something's going in there, right? Like, I don't remember, but I feel like something's going in that area. And in the trees, every so often, porgs pop out from behind the trees. I don't know what they're trying to say there, but porgs are popping out behind the trees. So take from that what you will. And even when you're looking at the... So when you look at Disney's Hollywood Studios... At the top of the artwork, in the distance, there is the silhouette of the of Spaceship Earth, and a silhouette of the castle. So you know, just I don't know. I really, I You know what they need to do? They need to release all of this as like as wallpapers.
Yes. Dude, because Disney needs to release so much stuff as wallpapers.
This is like, really, this is just quality artwork, dude.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, very simple style. And, you know, and the sad part is you guys could find all this out by just going to your app store, because I'm pretty sure it's on Android and iOS, and downloading it for yourself and looking at it instead of having Brad just walk you through and be like, oh, and if you click on this, you see this. And if you click, just take a few minutes, go download the Disney Play app. And then it also has, Jeremy, which I'm pretty sure you put in the show notes, some music for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got some tunes.
Before we talk about that, I did send you a link to a picture of the show building for Guardians.
Don't send me links in the middle of our recording, man. You can't be doing that.
Oh, come on.
Okay, yes, I am. Good God, that is gargantuan.
I know.
It's you will huge. See that from every... But at the same time, so what, the new hotel that's going, what is it, the Riviera or whatever?
Yeah, the Riviera.
There's word that you can see that from the World Showcase, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, you're going to be able to watch the fireworks from the top of it. So,
it'll be interesting, all these huge buildings. But I just thought that show building, I mean, you can see a ton of that from Interventions.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that, like I said, that is, I knew it was going to be large. And again, we saw the, you know, I still remember when they did the sight balloons and everything. Mm-hmm. I guess though, when you see a single balloon, you don't think about it the same way as when it's going to be, it's not just a balloon on a rope. There's an entire building over
right.
there now.
It's a cube.
Yeah, yeah. But again, I'm going to... Because I've spent so much time trashing everything Disney's done lately, I will reserve my judgment on that until it's all done. Now, if it's all done and it's that noticeable, then yeah, that's going to be a problem. Yeah. But you know, they could also pull a Morocco from Tower of Terror and make it all work too. So.
Yeah, that's true. But yes, yeah, so the Play app brought with it a series of playlists that are apparently only available for Apple Music subscribers. So
yeah, so if you're like me and you have Google Play Music, forget you.
Sorry, yeah, and sorry Spotify, which I am an Apple Music subscriber, and so this doesn't affect me, but I am pretty shocked that they don't have Spotify like playlists made, because that's pretty crazy. So when I heard about this, My initial thought was, oh my gosh, they're giving us what Japan has. These playlists with the area loops and all this, you know, bespoke Disney music and like everything. And that's not what it is. There's playlists for Tomorrowland and Frontierland and Epcot and all the different parks and lands and stuff, and they're basically made up of music that was already available. They're just playlists of things that were already available. There's no new music, but it is nice to, you know, have a themed playlist, and they do include, when available, ride audio. You know, the Splash Mountain ride audio is available in the I was about to say Critter Country, but it's Frontierland,
yes.
Magic Kingdom. It's available on that playlist, and the Space Mountain theme is available on the Tomorrowland playlist. And so they do have ride audio and fun things, but it is not the Tokyo Disney, like, every month here's a new album that's nothing but, you know, the park audio and stuff, which I want so badly for Walt Disney World.
Right. And so while there is nothing perhaps new available there, it does give you a good way of seeing what is available. And like you said, right, putting it all together in a themed playlist that you don't have to build yourself, you know.
And there's like 12 of them. I mean, there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because you've got your, you know, what, Epcot has like at least two, because I know they've got one for World Showcase, one for Future World,
one for Just Frozen.
Anyway, they've got one for Future World, one for World Showcase, and then of course they've got the Disney Road Trip tracks, which I think isn't that at, like, I feel like that's at pretty much every park.
Yeah.
Which it feels a bit like they said, let's see, that says drive in it. This says drive in it. Don't get me wrong, it definitely gets away from that at some point, because, you know, it includes like Un Poco Loco and stuff like that as well. So I don't think it's a bad thing by any stretch, other than not letting me. I do hope that at some point they let me say I don't have Apple Music, though. Maybe there's some tie into. You know what? I wonder. I need to go find my Android phone, because I wonder if on the Android phone, if I could get this stuff on Google Play Music. Because surely the Android phone is not linking out to the Apple Music. I know there's an app for that on Android, but that's not.
I don't think they do.
Right?
I don't think they exist on that Google Play. Because Disney doesn't advertise at all that they're available on anything but Apple Music.
But I know these tracks are available, because I've listened to a lot of them. Because a lot of them are like the Walt Disney World album, right?
Yeah, there's a four. I think most of the tracks come from the Walt Disney World and Disneyland albums that were released in, I think, 2016. And then there's a four-part Disney Classics album, and there's a whole disc that's just ride audio that includes like Grim Grinning Ghosts and several, like, I think it's 20 tracks that's all ride audio and stuff. And so I think most of it pulls from those three albums, and then, you know, for the Frozen stuff, and for, I think Cars Land has, you know, some of the who's it, Rascal Flatts music from the movies and stuff. So, but I think they mostly pull from those three different albums.
And maybe something that we could take from this is Disney is recognizing that people are interested in music, and maybe
I hope so.
Maybe they'll see enough people clicking on that stuff in the app, and they'll be like, "Oh, maybe we should make some stuff available." You know, and that's I think the other part of this app. So this is the weird disconnect, right? For me, I feel like the other part of this app is what happens next, right? Like, this is a good start, but clearly not all of the attractions have games or, you know, achievements or these sorts of things. And what the trivia has clearly a set number of questions available to it, because I'm seeing new questions, and I'm also seeing repeats here and there. So those sorts of things, I'm like, okay, I want to see it grow. But then on the other hand, there's some part of me that would almost even want to say, eh, it's not really that successful if it doesn't grow. But do they need to cater to me, the person who is going to be opening this app all the time, or do they need to cater to the person who is going to open this app once in their lifetime when they get to take a trip to Disney World, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the app that to me will seem stale a year from now is going to seem really fresh to somebody who's never been to Walt Disney World before. So I don't even know that it's, I think it could be okay as it is. I mean, again, there will need to be updates. You know, when Guardians opens, you probably don't want the Universe of Energy logo sitting out there anymore. That would be bad. But, you know, with minor updates, I feel like this could be something really successful for them. You know, whereas something like the Disney Parks app, that needs to be growing and changing and becoming much, much, in my experience, less stable over time. That's one thing that I have noticed. I've been trying to pick up, you know, fast passes and stuff. This thing is crashing all over the place on my phone now, whereas I feel like it used to be pretty bulletproof. I mean, it wasn't without its issues, but...
Well, but you and I talked about it, you know, where I was saying, like, I opened that app for the first time in a year and was unable to use it. Like, I just did not understand how to operate that app anymore. Whereas, you know, back in the day when it first came out, you and I, you know, would meet for coffee and we would both just look through it and
hey, let's see what the wait times are like right now.
Yeah.
Because we both... are weirdos, folks. Weirdos.
But we understood it, and I used it tons when we were there changing fast passes and booking dining and everything. And, you know, then I open it up and I can't even figure out how to get to a list view of restaurants in a park. So, yeah, I think that app definitely needs work. And I will say again, I think that app needs to become a launcher, you know, instead
of these
just
other apps inside of it.
One UI for everything. Make a bespoke UI for booking dining, and a bespoke UI for making FastPass reservations, and then a thing for just a map, you know, and include their walking directions between parks, because that is still a very cool thing that I recommend to lots of people is, hey, you know, you don't really need to worry about knowing what you're doing, because this app will tell you, like, you need to get from Space Mountain to Spaceship Earth. This thing will tell you exactly where to go, about how long it's going to take, and, you know, what you need to do. It's going to get you between the parks. And if you have park hoppers, then cool. You're good. Good to go.
So, yeah, and I do think I so there was a point when I said, you know, oh no, I want everything in one app. But with the way that this app feels now, I could see them needing to break it out. Again, it feels slow now, right? It feels like it takes a lot more steps to do the things I used to do. And again, it's about 50-50 when I load the fast pass view, if I'm actually going to get all of my friends and family to load with me. Or maybe it's going to say that I'm the only one who can get a fast pass right now. And then I'm going to be looking to modify fast passes and the app's going to crash for the fifth or sixth or seventh time. And again, those just didn't seem to be issues that used to be there. And I wonder if it's a lot of this, you know, and I'm not saying I love the idea that they're adding the functionality of, you know, now your phone can be your room key. And what they added bus times. How has it taken us this long to add bus times to the app is brilliant. Let's have bus times all. You know what, though? Bus times you can only get if you have a resort reservation, apparently. I want to see bus times all the time. Because that's kind of stuff would be helpful to me, because, you know, I'm trying to make that connection from Yacht and Beach over to All Stars. And so I need to see the bus time so I know, okay, I can connect at Disney's Hollywood Studios, because I'm a weirdo and I do things like that. But, you know, all of these things are very good to be added to the app. I'm just worried it's starting to feel like they're adding a lot of stuff to the app.
It feels heavy. And, like, I feel like, so to just take FastPass as an example, I feel like if you tap on, I want to make a FastPass, a map does not need to be the first thing that you see. To me, it seems like a list with four big fat buttons on it that just says Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios. And then you tap on one of those, and then you just get a list with a bunch of big old buttons that says, here's a list of every attraction that's available in the park that you just tapped on. And if you need to see a map because you want to know, like, where they are, then that's fine. But for most people, I think they know what attractions they want to use. And so you do that, and then, like, you just go in, and you don't need to see a map. And what the Disney Parks app does is they present a map for everything. Like, whatever you're booking, you get a map first. And, like, even with dining reservations, I don't think people need a map to book dining reservations usually. You usually know what the name of the restaurant is that you want to get a dining reservation for.
See,
you know?
I agree with you, but then at the same time, I wonder how much of that, again, is you and I know where we want to get our fast passes. We don't need any help getting our fast passes. We definitely don't need a map to tell us where we can go get our fast passes. We know, like, all of this is information we know. I don't know that everybody else actually just knows that stuff, you know? Like, the friend who is at Disney right now sent me a text message. Hey, we just left our hotel. Our reservation's in 20 minutes. And I'm like,
you're gonna miss it.
Good luck. You know, well, I don't, you know, I'm trying not to be a downer. So I'm like, yeah, you're probably going to cut it close, but you know, you guys could definitely still make it. Where are you guys eating at? Oh, we're eating at ESPN. Like, what? Why? But I think that's where they could get a reservation at for that large of a party that close to time. Well, yeah. Where are you guys headed? Well, the concierge told us to go to Hollywood Studios, which admittedly is a pretty good plan to get from one hotel to there. But then you've got to try to get that connection, and you know, you might think you should hit the boat, but you've got to know that the boat is going to have these two stops and all these things. And you know, like, whereas I know all of these things because I'm a weirdo, I'm just going to keep hitting on that. these other people, they don't know these things. They need that map to tell them, you know, that this is where this is, and this is how you can do these things. So I don't inherently think the map, again, you could break it apart. You could still give me all that stuff. I definitely think it could take at least a click or two away from everything that you do. But if it felt more fast,
more snappy.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, if it felt more responsive is kind of what I get down to as I'm sitting here playing around on it. You know, it just doesn't feel responsive enough for me. And again, I don't really want to be dumped back to my home screen every couple of minutes. But
yeah,
let's hope it's because Disney is raking in all of that crazy, crazy money from all of the people who are there, and they will dump that money into making the app even better, do even more things, and add more servers to help it out.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.